Over 40 years ago, violinist David Harrington dreamed up the idea to create a string quartet devoted primarily to performing contemporary music, music that had never been heard before and that was created by living composers. This later expanded to include world music, jazz legends, rock artists, and contemporary classical composers who were no longer living. What resulted was the Kronos Quartet, a fearless group that broke boundaries and redefined what the string quartet could do, influencing countless ensembles still to come. Kronos has commissioned and premiered nearly 900 works, an astonishing feat to say the least. They've recorded 58 albums, toured and performed around the world, mentored emerging performers and composers, and have led masterclasses, workshops, and other educational programs. Committed to continually evolving, creating, and finding new forms of expression, the group has collaborated with many of the world's foremost composers, including Terry Riley, Henrik Gretzky, Steve Reich, and many more. The Kronos Quartet is the artist in residence at the Big Ears Festival this year, which begins tomorrow night, March 27th, and runs through Sunday, March 29th. In its 3 years, Big Ears has hosted many of the leading composers and artists from our time. It's a weekend of world-class performances, talks and discussions, interactive workshops, exhibitions, film screenings, surprise collaborations, and more. And it all takes place in various venues located in our own backyard, beautiful downtown Knoxville. A few days ago, I spoke with David Harrington, the founder of the Kronos Quartet, about their residency, with whom they will be performing, the music that we may expect to hear, and about the philosophy behind what the Kronos Quartet does. David Harrington, it's a tremendous honor to speak with you today. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to chat with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, David, you are the founding member and first violinist of the Kronos Quartet, but who are the other members and how long have you all been playing together?
Well, John Sherba, the other violinist in Kronos, has been in the group since 1978. And Hank Dutt, our violist, has been in Kronos since 1977. And Sunny Yang has been in Kronos since 2013.
And you all were formed in 1973, so that means three of the members have been together almost since the very beginning.
That's right. Although, you know, several of those early years were really tough, and the group almost didn't make it a time or two. But by the time Hank and I found John, and at that time, Jean Renaud, that would have been in 1978, we knew that something was going to happen.
From the very beginning, the Kronos Quartet has been passionate about performing contemporary music by living composers. From where did this desire and drive come? Why not perform the so-called standard quartets?
Well, what happened to me is that when I was 16 years old, I got addicted to the, well, I guess you could say this, it was partly the thrill, and then there's a little bit of fear involved as well in playing very new pieces that nobody else has ever played. So it's a combination of thrill and challenge and fear and excitement and I think sheer wonder of being there first. And, you know, nobody else has heard the music that frequently that we play. It hasn't been heard before. Mm-hmm. And that is fun and thrilling and terrifying all at the same time. And so when I was 16 years old, I experienced that. And as time went on, I realized that's what I wanted to do all the time. And so, you know, in the summer, in August of 1973, I heard Black Angels on the radio. And that piece was written by George Crumb during the American War in Vietnam. And I just heard it last night again. I was doing a DJ session for a bunch of people here in Richmond, Kentucky. And I can't believe how amazing that piece is, even all these years later. And I was explaining that falling into the orbit of that piece of music, I knew exactly what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And all of a sudden, I had my song. It was really easy, actually. It wasn't even a choice. I had to do it. I didn't have any choice.
The Kronos Quartet, of course, is the headline artist at the Big Ears Festival this year. And I just read this morning on a blog post that you wrote for the Big Ears website that you can't wait for the Big Ears Festival, that it's your idea of heaven and then some. You've performed all over the world. Why are you so excited about the Big Ears Festival? What makes it so special?
Well, in the short span of about 2.5 days, or maybe it's really two, if you count Friday through Sunday, I guess it's 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing 5 concerts. We're playing with some of our closest friends, in the case of Terry Riley and Wuman and Tanya Tagok and Bryce Dessner and Nels Klein. We're playing with a couple of singers that we've just gotten to know in the last few months, Rhiannon Giddens and Sam Amidon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get to play in so many different settings. Plus, there's all this other music that's going on that's not only Kronos.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to mention we're playing with Laurie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, whoa, how often does that happen? Well, it doesn't. This is the first time anything like this has really happened for us. And it'll be a few sleepless nights because it'll be like drinking coffee all day and all night. I mean, I'm going to be really wired.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm kind of feeling it already.
You just mentioned some of the musicians that you are collaborating with during the festival. Could you talk briefly about who each of these artists are and about the music that you'll be making with them?
Well, Terry Riley, for me, is one of the central voices in music. And he's been writing for Kronos since 1980. And during that time, he's written 27 pieces for us. And we're going to debut a new one that he just wrote, a new song, actually, that he wrote for us and Wuman, and so we're going to put that together and when we arrive at Big Ears. And he's one of our closest friends, and the music he's written through all of these years has really, in my opinion, defined a lot of what is possible to do right now in music. So it's wonderful that, you know, he's coming up on 80 years in June, and it's just fabulous that he's going to be there with us. And
mm-hmm.
And we're playing The Cusp of Magic with Wuman, and that's a piece that Terry wrote for the five of us. As a birthday present, we commissioned him. You know, Terry likes to be busy and likes to write music and play music, and I thought the best birthday present we could give him when he turned 70 was keep him busy. So we asked him to write a quintet, and he wrote The Cusp of Magic, and that's how we're going to open our residency. And Tanya Tagok is the amazing throat singer from Northern Canada. She sings and is inspired by a traditional form of Inuit throat singing. And we're playing with her a piece written for the five of us by Derek Chark, also from Canada. Bryce Dessner has written a number of wonderful pieces for Kronos. And we're doing the American premiere of his 40 Canons for Kronos. And Bryce will be joining us on electric guitar.
And Laurie Anderson, talk about that.
Yes, we just played with Laurie Anderson in Chicago a couple of nights ago. It's such an exhilarating, wonderful experience to be able to play Laurie's music all together. It's just incredibly wonderful, and I can't wait to bring Landfall, the piece that she wrote for the five of us, to Big Ears.
And then the other collaboration is with Rhiannon Giddens and Sam Amidon?
Yes, and we're still working out the complete set with Rhiannon. As a matter of fact, I just got a message from her a couple minutes ago, and we're going to try to do 3 new songs together that we've never done before. So if we can fit that into a very short rehearsal period, we'll do it. And so far we've done 4 other songs together. So hopefully the set will be 7 songs. And what a marvelous musician, incredible singer and composer. So Rhiannon will be joining us. And Sam Amidon, also an amazing singer, and you know, the quality of these voices that they carry around inside of them is just astonishing to me, and we love to work with singers, and so we have 2 of the best.
I noticed that several of these artists are actually a few of the composers that you've selected to participate in your new project, 50 for the Future. Can you talk about this project a little bit? What is it?
Well, 50 for the Future is something that we decided would be a good thing for Kronos to do, really as a present to the next generations of quartets. Every year for the next 5 years, we're asking 10 composers, 5 women, 5 men each year, to write new pieces for Kronos that we will play on any stage anywhere. And the idea is that at the end of the 5 years, we will have an entry point for every group that's interested in the whole world to learn to do what we do. The scores and the parts will be free, downloadable from anywhere. There will be recordings that we make of each piece, interviews with the composers. The rehearsals will be videoed. And so there will be really accurate information about how we do the work we do. We just have learned that it's very hard to get the kind of information that's needed for people to do the kind of work that we do. And we get calls virtually every day from all over the place asking for our music and advice on this and that. So we just decided to take matters into our own hands and make this happen. And with the help of some very enlightened presenting organizations around the world, from Carnegie Hall to the Holland Festival to the Harris Theater in Chicago and many others, this 50 for the Future will be actualized.
And it's a project over the next couple of years?
It's going to take the next 5 years to accomplish this.
And will the level of the technical difficulty demanded of the musicians, will that be a student level or a professional level, or will it be mixed?
Well, here's what's happening. And what we've discovered is that what people can do now is much different than what they could do in 1973 when we started. But the idea is that there will be 5 books of 10 pieces, and they will follow a trajectory of, I guess you could say, difficulty, but basically, one of the hardest things to do in a string quartet is to play 2 notes together. So there'll be lots of music from many different places in the world and many different areas of the world of music, and lots of different forms of notation. So, you know, we will put them in an order, and there will be things that might seem easier and there will be things that might seem more difficult, but ultimately, my feeling is it's all part of the same body of work.
You work a great deal with students, scheduling coachings and mentoring sessions with them while on tour. Will you be working with any students while you are in Knoxville?
We're trying to figure that out right now. I mean, the schedules that we have while we're at Big Ears, it's very, very busy, actually, with all the concerts and sound checks and rehearsals. But the answer is yes, we are going to find ways to do that. We don't know exactly what time we're going to be available even now, but that's in the process of getting set up. Our rehearsals are going to be all open to listeners.
Okay, good to know. The Kronos Quartet has commissioned and premiered over 800 works. How do you learn all of this music? How do you have the time? Has there ever been a moment during a performance when you are sweating, thinking, I'm not sure if we can pull this off?
Every one of the nearly 900 pieces that has been written for Kronos, I can safely say that I've sweated during the premiere performance every time, not just once, but every time. That's part of the thrill. It's part of the world that we live in. Can we do the next adventure is always part of the equation that we're trying to solve.
And so how are you able to fit in rehearsal time to learn this music?
You know, we've rehearsed in virtually every kind of situation you can imagine. Frequently, we're rehearsing in hotel rooms. We're backstage before sound checks. I remember we rehearsed in a Swedish sauna that the hotel turned off for us one time. We've rehearsed in airports. You know, you just have to do what you have to do in order to accomplish the work. And shortly after we speak today, I'm going to be going to a a rehearsal. And during that rehearsal, we'll be looking through a new piece. We're doing a little bit of recording for a backing track for a piece that we're premiering in Yerevan, Armenia in April. And then we're getting ready for the show we're doing tonight. So there's a lot of organization that comes into play, and there are a lot of steps that are involved in each one of the new pieces that we bring to the public.
The thing about you and the quartet that I admire the most is the fact that you're always evolving, always searching and creating new music, new forms of expression. For 40 years, you've been doing this. Does it ever get exhausting? How do you stay so inspired and motivated?
You know, for me, it's not a job to be inspired by the world of music. Mm-hmm. It would be much more difficult to not be inspired because what is possible right now is so thrilling and so vast, and the potential that all of us have for finding new expressions. And the fact that in virtually every country that I'm aware of right now, there are people doing really wonderful music. And what I want is for Kronos to be ready and available and able to explore. You never know what might be the kind of thing that should be explored next. What is Kronos music today will be, it's what it is right now. As you say, it will be different next week and the week after that. That is the nature of the work we do. Mm-hmm. There's no way for me not to be thrilled by this. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm having the greatest possible time. I can't imagine having more fun.
I regularly play your music on my show, The Morning Concert, and often when I do, I hear very mixed reactions for the same piece of music. I'm recalling a time when a listener called in and was just mesmerized by your music, had to know what it was, saying that he just couldn't get enough of it, while another listener had a very strong negative reaction, we'll just put it that way. How do you respond to these polarizing responses to your music?
Well, I invite both listeners to come to any of our concerts. Part of being at a concert is, you know, you speak about seeing a concert. It's a little harder to see music being made on a radio show. Mm-hmm. But I think that hopefully at a concert, there will be something there for the person that hates our music as well as the person that loves our music. And I have a lot of faith in the power of musical expression. And I think there's music for every listener. Mm-hmm. And the kind of concerts I like to play cover a vast territory of sound and feeling and expression. And I like to go from the quietest sound to the loudest sound and everything in between. And the other thing to know is that there's no right answer in music, and there's really no wrong answer either. It's okay to not like something, you know? It's okay. Maybe what you didn't like today, you'll love a month from now. That's happened to me. The other thing that's happened to me is that I've been mesmerized by certain musical experiences to the point where I don't have any choice. I have to play that music. I have to present it to my friends and my family and ultimately our audience as well. So you can rest assured that the music we play is coming from a real place. The wonderful thing about music is that no two of us have the same entry point into the world of music. And so what we can accept next, each of us is probably different, and our inner soundtrack is different. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's not even, it's not a problem if somebody doesn't like our work or doesn't like a specific piece within our work. It's not a problem. There will be something else. And ultimately, each listener is evolving constantly. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just the way it works.
Well, David Harrington, it's been a true privilege talking with you today. Safe travels, and I look forward to seeing and hearing you here in Knoxville.
We'll see you soon.
That was David Harrington, first violinist and founder of the Kronos Quartet, who is the artist in residence of the Big Ears Festival this year, which begins tomorrow night, March 27th, and runs through Sunday, March 29th. The festival is taking place in downtown Knoxville. Performances are being given in various venues. You can find a complete schedule, information about the artists, and ticket prices online at BigEarsFestival.com. You can also hear a full-length version of this interview on our website, wuot.org, later on this afternoon.